This is Alex Medford from Denver, Colorado, coming to you from sunny Maui, Hawaii, and you're listening to the Pro Hockey News Podcast.
Hello, hockey fans from around the world. I am Richard Cote, the producer of the Pro Hockey News Podcast. It is the second line edition of the podcast, and you know what that means. It means, oh, Canadian, where art thou? Because we are missing our snarky Canadian, Jacob Doherty, but in his absence, I present to you Dr. Lou Lafredo from Albuquerque. Lou, how are you doing?
Doctor. Well, thank you. I'm doing really well. The last 2 days, we have had absolutely spectacular weather here. 70s and sun and not a whole heck of a lot of wind. So spring has sprung, and my eyes will tell you that because they're itchy as all get out. So that's it from Albuquerque.
Yeah, we are starting to see some of the nicer weather up here in Colorado. We had a little bit of a cold spell. We had 30s and 40s the last few days. It is now 60 today. We're going to be seeing 70s over the weekend, possibly 80s next week. So hold on to your hats with that. And you know what? I got to drive home today from work with my windows down and my sunroof open. It made me a happy person.
Yes, same here. I had a hat on, but
felt the wind blowing in my hair. It was great.
Oh yeah, rub it in. Go ahead.
Yeah, I will. listeners, this episode of the Pro Hockey News Podcast is brought to you by My Custom Sports Chair. Head over to mycustomsportschair.com. Enter in code PHN15 to get yourself 15% off of a custom sports chair of your choice. You can put whatever logo, whatever, you know, face or artwork you want on it, make it yours, put it in your man cave, get a PHN one because those will be good. get a PHN one because tag us in it on social. Yeah. It will look sweet. My rant this week is something that Adam brought up to me last week on the First Line Edition. If you were listening, I need to bring this up to Lou. Lou, who do we need to talk to make this happen? We need some PHN Picks hardware for not this season, but maybe next season when we do our PHN Picks, and not just the first line, the second line, maybe just something overall. I think we need to discuss something on how we bring some hardware in to present to the winner each year. It doesn't have to be anything big, but you know, something special that we can, you know, I can have here in the background as I win, you know, each year. So,
so in other words, something to lord it over the rest of us.
Exactly. You know,
5 months.
So something slightly shiny, maybe that will, like, you know, reflect as we move to a video podcast, but you know, I just wanted to plant that seed in your head.
So not terribly ostentatious, but something that's a thumb in the eye of the losers.
Exactly. And preferably something if we can make something you could drink out of, I'm sure we would all appreciate that.
Okay. so there are, okay. We'll work on that over the summer.
Just spitballing some ideas here.
I've got an idea.
All right. And you know what? I know you also have an idea of what's going on in the EIHL across the pond there. Tell us in this week's edition of Bangers and Mash, what is happening out in the UK?
Richard, I'm an Anglophile, so over in the UK, the EIHL has finished its regular season. It is now in playoff mode for all of the weekend, and two teams did not make it, as we all know. There were only 10 of the 12 would make it in, 8 of the 10 would only make it into the playoffs, and the Dundee Stars and Fife Flyers did not advance. So Scotland is only being represented by the Glasgow Clan, who took up the 8th position in the playoffs. But in the meantime, today saw the kickoff of the playoff edition of the EIHL, and you know, just to be sure that your brain would fry a little bit on a Friday afternoon, Richard, in game one of a two-leg set between the Sheffield Steelers and the Manchester Storm, the game ended in a 2-2 tie. So they go to leg two, the second leg of this series, with neither team holding an advantage. As we know, the two-leg system provides for an aggregate score at the end of the two games. So those two teams will have a rather brisk second leg coming up. That game will be in Manchester. Today's game was in Sheffield. Steelers hosted that one, and as I said, it ended up a 2-2 tie.
So I got to ask you a question about that. The second leg, that yes. can't end in a tie, can it?
No, it will. It would have to go to, it may go to penalties.
Since it goes to, since it's aggregate score, you okay, right. you can't end yeah. in a tie. Got it. Okay.
Right. Yes. Cannot end in a tie. That's correct. So let's take a rundown of the rest of the playoff schedule. Well, the playoff matchups here in the first round, the quarterfinals. It's Belfast Giants against the Glasgow Clan. Belfast being the number one seed coming into the playoffs. Glasgow, as I said earlier, took up the eighth position. The second game, the second set of games, Guildford Flames are taking on the Nottingham Panthers. Excuse me. In both of those games, Guildford is the home team on the first round or the first leg, and Belfast has the first leg in that series. The fourth quarterfinal game, it's the Cardiff Devils hosting the Coventry Blades. So that's the quarterfinals. Each of them are two legs, goes to the semis, and then the finals, obviously. So I'm actually kind of – I'm going to miss covering the EIHL this season. It's been a fun season. I really enjoyed the Clan coming back from the ashes of just an awful start to the season to qualify mm-hmm. for the playoffs, and good on them for doing it. Unfortunately for them, they have to face the Giants. So, Richard, it's back to you after the Bangers and Mash.
Yeah, I'm still rooting for the Glasgow Clan. I would love to see them advance at least one round, but I think we all know that that's extremely difficult.
Yeah, it's gonna. And my personal favorite this, personal professional favorite this year has been Guildford, because they just played a terrific season, and it was just one brief skid that they went on, and it cost them the regular season title. And to keep in mind, that's two out of the three pieces of silverware. Yep. Speaking of hardware and silverware, that the Giants have taken so far this season. They took the Challenge Cup earlier since the first of the year, and then they took the regular season title. So now they're playing for the trifecta of silverware.
Yep.
Yep. So just, I didn't want you to go into the weekend without your brain going into a freeze. So
We're gonna really work out our brains here once we get to the AHL and their Calder Cup playoff format and yep. all the clinching that can happen today as we record Friday, April 7th. First, let's take a look at the ECHL. I'll give you a quick rundown of the standings. Things are a little bit more clear cut. I believe top four teams from each division make it to the playoffs, and then we do divisional matchups until we get to the Calder Cup, the Kelly Cup, Kelly Cup playoff or the Kelly Cup final. But let's take a look at the standings in the North Division. We have three teams who have clinched a playoff berth. That would be the Newfoundland Growlers, the Reading Royals, and the Maine Mariners. The Worcester Railers in the number four spot, 1 point ahead of the Adirondack Thunder, with about three or four games left to play. Actually, it looks like the Thunder have six games to play, so they got about three games in hand over the Railers. In the South Division, we only have one team who has clinched a playoff spot, and that is the South Carolina Stingrays. The Florida Everblades are in the number two spot with 82 points. The Jacksonville Icemen, who have tumbled a little bit in the standings, struggling a little bit down the stretch, tied at 82 points in the number three spot, and the Greensville Swamp Rabbits in that number four spot at 81 points. Still too close to call here. The Atlanta Gladiators, 75 points, so they could play spoiler with a few games left to play. In the Central Division, we have all of the playoff spots clinched in this division. All we're going to worry about is seeding, although it seems to be a little bit more set as we come down the stretch. The Cincinnati Cyclones have taken sole possession of first place with 99 points and a game in hand over the Toledo Walleye. We're going to come back to these guys. They have skid just a bit coming down the stretch. They are in the number two spot with 93 points. With 83 points in the number three spot is the Indy Fuel. And in the number four spot with 71 points are the Fort Wayne Comets. In the Mountain Division, besides the division leader of the Idaho Steelheads at 111 points, everything is wide open. We have the Wichita Thunder with 70 points in the number two spot, the Allen Americans in the number three spot with 69 points, and the Utah Grizzlies currently sitting in that fourth spot with 68 points. The Kansas City Mavericks and the Rapid City Rush, Kansas City with 68 points and Rapid City with 66 points, could play spoiler to Utah. They could even catch the Allen Americans in that division. So nothing set quite yet. Wichita also could possibly be knocked out, but I believe they could probably clinch in their next game. So, Lou, let's talk about the Walleye. We have been talking about them all season long. They have been extremely dominant, except for the last couple of weeks. We saw a 19-game win streak out of this team, and now they're struggling to win six of their last 10.
You know what? Any other team that we would have selected, except maybe Idaho, we would say that's, you know, it's a great stretch, a 6-3-0-1. But if, you know, coming off a 19-game winning streak, it is highly mediocre, isn't it? And yet at the same time, you look at it, they have, well, they have obviously clinched second place. I don't think that that's going to move. So they're set in second. There really is little chance of catching Cincinnati at the top spot. So I guess they could be forgiven for maybe taking a foot off the gas a bit.
Yeah, I mean, Indy does have a game in hand. I think Indy has five games left, so that is 10 potential points they could make up on Toledo to take that number two spot, and if they have the tiebreaker, I believe right. They might. So they could flip-flop there. Chances are very unlikely, because all Toledo would have to do is register 1 point, and they've solidified that second spot. Right. I think my biggest worry is they were, you know, right with this Cincinnati team who was also hot at the same time. Cincinnati's continuing to do well, 9-1-0-0 in their last 10. Toledo, you know, dropping at least, you know, three more games than Cincinnati in that last 10. So not quite able to keep up the pace that Cincinnati's put on. Cincinnati, again, also has a game in hand on Toledo. To put potentially two more points distance between these two. So, I mean, I know mathematically we don't have it there yet, but with four games left for Toledo and five games left for Cincinnati, I think this is what we're going to see. We're going to see Cincinnati on top of this division.
Absolutely. I don't see Toledo. Well, I don't see the Cyclones losing one or two games, and certainly Toledo has got the horses to maybe run the table in the last four games. But, you know, I think it's all about getting ready for the playoffs, because the minor leagues are a slog.
They are.
I mean, it's one thing for, you know, it's one thing at the NHL level, but you get down to the ECHL, and it is just a slog, especially on the weekend, back-to-back games.
Now, fun fact, if Toledo was in the Eastern Conference, they would have the number one seed in the East.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. All right, so we'll be following that as we carry on closer to the Kelly Cup playoffs. As for the AHL and the Calder Cup playoffs, we got a few clinching scenarios happening right now. I'll go ahead and go over what we know so far as who's clinched what. I'll go over the top four in each division. In the Atlantic, we've had Providence Bruins and the Hershey Bears both clinching a playoff spot. Providence with 92 points, Hershey with 91 points, with about five games left to play. The Springfield Thunderbirds are in the number three spot with 80 points, and the Charlotte Checkers also at 80 points in the number four spot. In the North Division, the Toronto Marlies are the only team to have clinched a playoff spot there. They lead the division with 88 points. 11 points behind them is the Syracuse Crunch in the second spot, the Rochester Americans in the number three spot, and the Utica Comets in the number four spot with 74 points. In the Central Division, we have two teams who have already clinched the spot. That is the Texas Stars and the Milwaukee Admirals. Texas on top of that division with 84 points. Milwaukee also with 84, having played one more game. They are in the number two spot. Number three is the Manitoba Moose with 77 points. And the Iowa Wild round out your top four with 74 points. In the Pacific Division, we have five teams, because I believe seven teams make it.
Yes.
From the Pacific, given the strange playoff format they have. So we have five teams who have clinched a playoff spot here. The Calgary Wranglers, excuse me, with 100 points, lead that division. The Coachella Valley Firebirds, 2 points behind them at 98 points in the number two spot. The Colorado Eagles with 82 points have the number three spot. The Abbotsford Canucks in the number four spot with 81 points. And the Bakersfield Condors in that number five spot with 72 points. Ontario Reign and the Tucson Roadrunners are your next two, 71 points and 68 points, respectively. Let's look at the playoff format as we know it right now. And if the playoffs were to begin today, we would have, of course, the Bruins and the Bears in the Atlantic Division with a bye week. Thunderbirds, Wolfpack, Checkers, and Phantoms would all play in the first round in the Atlantic. In the North Division, we'd have the Comets and the Laval Rocket in the first round. The Toronto Marlies, Syracuse Crunch, and the Rochester Americans would all get a first-round bye. In the Central Division, the Iowa Wild and the Rockford Ice Hogs would face each other. Winner would go on to play the Texas Stars, who would have a bye week along with the Milwaukee Admirals and the Manitoba Moose. And in the Pacific Division, we would have the Coachella Valley Firebirds, the Tucson Roadrunners, the Colorado Eagles, the Ontario Reign, the Abbotsford Canucks, and the Bakersfield Condors all facing each other in the first round. Well, Calgary gets to wait and see who they would play. Got all that? Yes.
No.
Okay.
Don't ever give me grief about the EIHL ever again.
And that is a best of three. So best of three, best of five, best of five, best of seven, best of seven is how that playoff format goes. Now, if you really want to melt your brain, which I know you do because you like to listen to the second line here, we have some clinching scenarios on Friday as we record this. I will start with the simplest, and that is the Tucson Roadrunners. They will be able to clinch a playoff spot if they beat Texas and San Jose gets a regulation loss against Colorado. Simple enough. Next, we have the Rochester Americans. They have one scenario to clinch, and that is a win at Syracuse and a regulation loss from Laval and versus Cleveland. Okay, those are the simplest ones. We have four other scenarios that go to at least a second scenario. We'll start with the Ontario Reign. They can clinch a playoff spot if they win against Abbotsford, or we see a loss, San Jose loss, regulation OT, or a shootout against Colorado. That would not help Tucson. And then we have the Syracuse Crunch, who would get a playoff berth today if they get a point at or versus Rochester, or if there's regulation finish or a regulation finish versus the Cleveland Laval game. So if that game does not go to overtime, it doesn't matter who wins or loses. Syracuse would get in if they register a point versus Rochester. Now, Charlotte and Springfield, are you ready for these, Lou?
Yes, please.
Okay. Yeah. I wanted to give you time to gather your thoughts before we dive into this.
Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. All right. Charlotte will clinch a playoff berth today if they get a win at Lehigh Valley and there is a regulation finish in the Bridgeport-Hartford game, or they get a win at Lehigh Valley and a Bridgeport overtime loss, shootout loss at Hartford, or they get an overtime loss, shootout loss at Lehigh, and a Bridgeport regulation loss at Hartford. So it really just depends on those two games, but there's multiple scenarios how they finish, and, you know, Charlotte gets their playoff berth granted to them. Springfield has a few other bits and pieces thrown in. A win versus Hershey and a regulation finish in the Bridgeport-Hartford game. So a lot riding on that game this weekend, or today. Or a win versus Hershey and a Bridgeport overtime loss or shootout loss at Hartford, or an overtime loss, shootout loss versus Hershey and a Bridgeport regulation loss at Hartford. All right, so I feel like I need a big map in the background with a lot of red twine interweaving everything. But those are our clinching scenarios today. So we have Springfield, Charlotte, Syracuse, Rochester, Ontario, and Tucson who could all possibly clinch in varying scenarios and the brain-melting playoff format that the AHL likes to continue to have. They need to fix that thing. It's broken. They need to fix it. That's all I got to say.
It really is. I don't see why so many teams have to make it.
So many teams from one division and so few teams from the, I know it's all about like travel money and expenses and that they just need to find a better format.
Yeah.
It'll make it. Please make that happen. All right. So enough about the AHL and their weird playoff format. Let's take a look at the NHL as we are going down to the final half dozen games for most teams in the league. But something I want to focus on before we start talking about playoff pictures and matchups that we're really excited to see, I want to just, I've been harping on this ever since he said it a few weeks ago, and that is Commissioner Gary Bettman talking about how no teams in hockey tank. This is a myth. Nobody does this. Well, I would like to submit an exhibit to prove, not to prove, but some evidence to show that this does happen in the NHL. Exhibit A is Anaheim. A for Anaheim. I know, trying to be a little clever, but you know, since I had explained it, I guess not. All right. So, Anaheim. We've seen them lose 9 in a row. They're 1-9 in their last 10. A couple weeks ago, they were second, maybe third in the Connor Bedard lottery, you might say. But they have just gone on this ridiculous losing streak. And I kind of find it funny that after the World Juniors and after, you know, Bedard showed what he can do, competing with some other great young talent. And then in the WHL, as they're approaching the playoffs, their last few games of the regular season, he is putting up multiple goal games, multiple point games, back to back to back to back. We start seeing Anaheim lose some games. And I'm not talking like they're losing some extremely close ones, although there was a couple of one goal games in there. They haven't won a game since March 17th. And that is when Connor Bedard started going on this ridiculous streak. We've seen Anaheim lose to Vancouver 2-1. They lose to Calgary 5-1. They lose to Winnipeg 3-2, St. Louis 6-3, Colorado 5-1, Seattle 4-1. And you can make an argument that, you know, these are Edmonton 6-0, and then Calgary again 5-4. You can make an argument that they're playing a lot against a lot of potential playoff teams, you know, at least in early March and now confirmed playoff teams who actually had a lot to play for. But losing 9 in a row, you feel like that maybe there's something more than meets the eye here, Lou.
Boy, you know, when you match up the dates, it's all circumstantial.
Yeah.
You understand that. I understand it. And yet at the same time, you sit and you say, well, come on. we're playing for next year.
Yeah.
This isn't wait till next year. The Doris Kearns Goodwin book. This is playing for next year's roster. And if your circumstantial evidence were to be proven out, it's disappointing. It really is. I mean, if everyone plays if each team, I'm assuming you're going to go deeper than that. If each team plays to its level best, you know, karma will take care of them, and whoever finishes at the bottom will get the top pick. So, mm-hmm. I would be very disappointed if this is all true.
I say this as if I'm, you know, compiling evidence to, you know, present as a case, but I mean, a lot of this is tongue in cheek. I mean, we know to some extent that there is like a tanking strategy, especially this time of year when there's really nothing left to play for, except for maybe getting some of the younger players more ice time. You're not going to be putting your best game out there against teams who are still fighting for a playoff spot because, I mean, the best you could do is play spoiler and that makes you feel good, but doesn't help you in any other way. You finish in last place, you have a better chance of getting that number one draft pick that is so sought after this year. I mean, we're talking about a kid who is putting up numbers in the WHL that we haven't seen since Connor McDavid, and we all know what kind of career he's had. Not to say that Bedard's going to be any good once he hits the NHL. This is all, I mean,
yeah.
It's an educated guess because he is putting up huge numbers in these lower leagues. But once he hits the NHL, I mean, there is a chance. Granted, it's fairly small, and I feel confident that this won't happen. But there is a chance that he might not pan out, or who knows? I'm not going to try and jinx this upon him in any way, shape, or form, but, you know, injuries could set in. There could be just unforeseen circumstances that he just doesn't pan out for whatever team takes him in the first round.
Right. And, you know, I can't remember McDavid's size when he entered the NHL or when he stepped on the ice for the first time in an NHL game. But I just don't see Bedard as being an excessively robust physique.
At 5'10" and 185 pounds?
Right. See, he's got a ways to go, and I guess what I'm trying to say is an extension of what your comment is. You know, the first year, maybe he doesn't even ice in the NHL. Starts in the minors. If it's Anaheim, he starts in San Diego, or do they reassign him back to his WHL team? Does he have another year of eligibility?
Right.
To build up.
You know, I really think it's depends on the team who takes him. I think if it's Anaheim, he's seeing ice the very first season. I think he's being implemented into that roster because they need that quick spark, and he's going to be able to provide it. I mean, physically, is he ready for this? Well, he's playing against some pretty big guys right now, but not what he's going to see in the NHL. He's not going to see, you know, players who know their way around the game as well as some of these veterans that are currently in the league. So, I mean, physically, I don't think he's there. Mentally and skill-wise, yeah, he is absolutely ready to be dropped into an NHL roster. So I think if somebody like Anaheim or Columbus would take him, he's seeing ice time very first game that he's on that roster. You get further down Chicago. I mean, Chicago's still trying to rebuild from what they have lost, which is everything. So maybe he's not seeing ice time the very first game. Maybe he is taking a season to get built up a little bit more, get a little bit more conditioning under his belt. San Jose. They got a little bit more time to bide with young talent. Arizona, I think, would be another team who would probably put them on the ice very first, because they want to sell the tickets. People are going to come to see that show.
I'd be more inclined to see him on the ice the first year in San Jose, because I think that they have a bigger team. They have a heavier team than the others that you're talking about.
That's true.
Arizona, I don't look. I think Arizona improved after the trade deadline. I think it was an addition by subtraction. They got rid of a lot of people that just weren't happy there, just like Vancouver did. But yeah. I think San Jose is a heavier team, and they play heavy. And so consequently, he would be a little bit better protected in San Jose than any of the other three that you're positing here.
Yeah, that's a very good point. I forgot to take into account San Jose's size and their physicality. So that is a very good point. I will retract what I said.
No, you still stick with it. I mean, that's just from me looking around and, first round draft picks never used to make it into the NHL the first year.
No.
And now there's so much pressure on these kids.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate. And so you'd hate to see something, the Sabres sent Power back to Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
And he did not come in until not late in the season, but certainly after the season started, and has been, I think, that extra time in Michigan with him being there for a purpose, put him on a different pathway in Michigan, and he wound up becoming a better player coming into the NHL as opposed to just coming in after the draft.
Yeah, I could tell you one jersey we probably won't see him in, minors or otherwise. Chicago Wolves jersey. We won't see him in that, but if you want to get your own Chicago Wolves jersey, head over to chicagowolfstore.com, enter in code PHN15 to save yourself 15% off your purchase. You know what? Maybe Connor Bedard could use that promotion code and save himself a little bit of money before he starts making those millions in the NHL.
Yeah.
You never, every penny counts, Connor, if you're listening to this podcast. I don't know. Just the times and dates just seem to line up for me. So I thought I'd bring that up before we start talking about the NHL playoff picture in, a different scene than what we were looking at a couple weeks ago when we were on the second line again. There were a few question marks. I don't think any teams in the West had clinched. Now we have just about everything but three wildcard spots clinched in the NHL playoffs. Seattle clinching theirs last night, making their first trip to the postseason in franchise history. Vegas looking at them saying, what took you so long? Boston's been there for a while. Of course, they're President's Trophy winners. Adam brought up a good point last week. What is Boston going to finish with, a greater goal differential or a greater amount of points? Because right now it's fairly close. They have 127 points, 121 plus 121 goal differential. That is just ridiculous. By the way, if you are curious, I believe, and Lou, you could fact check me on this. I believe the league record for most points in a season is 134, which Boston, no, it's 130. Yeah. 134, which Boston could potentially get if they win, I believe, four of their remaining games. They could break that record. The record number of wins in a season is 63, which they are two wins away from tying. If they win all four of their final games, they will break that record of most wins in a season. So, as I'm sure listeners, you've looked at the NHL standings. We have Carolina, New Jersey, and New York in the Metropolitan, Boston, Toronto, Tampa in the Atlantic, Colorado, Dallas, Minnesota in the Central, and Vegas, Edmonton, and LA in the Pacific, and the one wild card of Seattle. To me, the most interesting wild card battle that we have right now is Winnipeg and Calgary. These two teams who are virtually tied in points. Winnipeg has a game in hand. Winnipeg not playing great. Calgary playing a hair better. Coming down to it, Winnipeg doesn't have that easy of a schedule as they finish out their season. Between two teams who are virtually tied for that second wild card in the West, who do you think holds the edge?
Wow. Sorry, I'm tongue-tied because I don't think either one of them hold an edge over the other. The only reason Winnipeg has any sort of an edge is because they've got the game in hand. So they have the opportunity to pick up an extra point along the way. Mm-hmm. But Calgary is only playing well over the last couple of games. They've won one in a row. I mean, they were absolutely embarrassed by the Chicago Blackhawks two games back. They had the opportunity to leapfrog the Jets. Right. Honestly, I don't think either one of them have an edge except for the game number of games. At this point, I don't think we can count out Nashville. Nashville is coming down the stretch at 6-1 and at 6-4 in the last 10 games. All of a sudden we can't count out Nashville.
No.
They are playing well. They've got the game in hand on the Flames. 78 games, they're 2 points back. They're 1 point back. You know, they get one win on tomorrow, and either Winnipeg and Calgary lose, and now all of a sudden they're up in that second spot. So,
well, if they do get a win in their next game tomorrow, it will be against Winnipeg.
Oh, well, there you go. I think they'll get it. Nashville, to me, has a better shot at this than either of the other two teams. Winnipeg, what has happened to Winnipeg?
Winnipeg has gone a little cold. I don't know if I want to count them out. They had a rough game against Calgary. They lost 3-1. But really showing up against, a pretty tough playoff team in the New Jersey Devils.
Yes.
They beat them 6-1.
Yes.
So,
but then couldn't carry the momentum. This is why I don't think they have an edge, because they couldn't carry that momentum forward into a game against the Flames.
Well, they also had a 6-2 win over Detroit the game before.
Right.
2 days later, they have another big game against New Jersey. 2 days rest. I mean, these are all home games. So, yeah, I mean, not like you can blame travel on any of this.
No.
But, I mean, they've played decent. Losing 3-0 to the Sharks. I mean,
yeah.
There's that. You're going to have those games. I don't know. Winnipeg, I'm not going to panic if I'm a Winnipeg fan. I think the Jets are in a good spot. The only thing I worry about, the Nashville game, I feel like they could take care of. They're a good enough team. They're going to put their best out on the ice, and that's going to be a good matchup. That's going to be a fun one to watch on Saturday. My biggest worry are going to be the last two games of the season for Winnipeg. You're going to be at Minnesota, travel day, at Colorado. So you're going to finish off on two teams who are going to be battling hard to win that division, because the Central Division is not really going to be tied up until the last game of the season.
Right.
And that's going to be an exciting finish. We'll keep eyes on that. Nashville, on the other hand, they're 6-4 in their last 10. I don't know, they're making a little bit of noise. They took care of St. Louis a few games back, 6-1. Dallas beat them 5-1. They took Vegas to overtime, 1-3-2. They beat Carolina 3-0. So, they're in a good spot. Their final games, Winnipeg, Calgary, Minnesota, Colorado. So, again, they're also going to have two very tough games to finish off the season. That Calgary game, even if they get this win in Winnipeg, that Calgary game, I think, is what's going to be the deciding factor for this wild, the second wild card. Monday, April 10th, when they're at Calgary, I think that's going to be the deciding factor of this second wild card in the West.
I agree. Yeah, it's all this, the next 3 days.
Yeah. So, let's look at the East a little bit. We have all of the spots for the divisions taken up. We're looking at the wild card situation there. I mean, not as cut and dry as we're seeing out in the West. We have three teams who are bouncing back and forth. We got Florida, we have the New York Islanders, and the Pittsburgh Penguins, all within 1 point of each other. Buffalo, very outside chance, but they're still in it. About 5 points back of Pittsburgh, 6 points back of the Islanders, having five games left to play. So they do have two games in hand on the rest of the bunch there. Pretty steep competition here for the either wild card. Lou, let's start with which two teams have the best shot of clinching those wild cards? And is that any different than who you would really like to see get those two wild cards?
No, I'll just go cold and calculating here. Okay. What's been interesting about this one is the Florida Panthers and New York Islanders are tied for the first wild card spot, and the Pittsburgh Penguins are 1 point behind them. And what's been interesting is that on nights when the Panthers and Islanders lose, the Penguins win, and then it reverses itself. So you've got two teams that jump, or two teams that fall back of the Penguins. In this case, I think my gut just tells me the Panthers are just playing lights out of late. It's not over the last 10 games. It's more over the last five that they've really been playing well. And the offense has really started to pick up. And so the Panthers and Islanders are probably the two teams that are going to make it. But I do think if one of them falls out, it's going to be the Islanders. I just don't know that the Islanders, it's just a feeling. Mm-hmm. And the Penguins are going to have to put on, they're going to have to win out their last three games in order to have any kind of a chance. As far as Buffalo, they have to win their last five. They yep. don't have a choice.
And they need somebody to win or lose their last three.
Correct. And I just don't see that happening. I think Buffalo, I don't think Buffalo enters the conversation much beyond that. So I guess if it were a bonus question for me, the final Panthers, Penguins, Islanders.
Okay. I think what we're seeing right now, just given the minimal games left to play, I like where the teams are and how this is going to finish up. I think this is what we're going to see. I think we're going to see Florida and New York probably in that order for the wild cards, and Pittsburgh just barely missing. And in case you're curious, the Islanders' last three games, home against Philadelphia, at Washington, versus Montreal. Mm. None of those are terribly competitive playoff teams for the remaining schedule for the Islanders. Florida, on the other hand, they have in their last three the Capitals, the Maple Leafs, and the Hurricanes. Now, the Maple Leafs and Hurricanes may not have anything left to play for.
Right.
I mean, Toronto's pretty solid in that number two spot in the Atlantic. They're going to be facing Tampa Bay in some shape or form. Probably they're going to be hosting Tampa Bay. There's an outside chance that could flip. In Carolina, I mean, they are kind of jostling for position in the Metropolitan. They're 1 point ahead of New Jersey. It just depends on what New Jersey does in their last couple of games, and Carolina has one more game to play over New Jersey. So the Carolina is sitting in a pretty sweet spot. They haven't clinched the division, but they're sitting in a good spot to win that division. And let's not count out the Rangers. They're 5 points back, but they would need to win all of them and have Carolina lose out and probably New Jersey lose two of their last three. So no playoff matchups set in the Metropolitan just yet, although we are fairly confident we're going to see New Jersey, New York matchup in some shape or form, just like we were talking about in the Atlantic. But for me, yeah, I think Florida and New York are going to be our two wildcard teams. Okay. I think Pittsburgh's just going to miss out.
Which yeah. I would have predicted. I'm actually surprised that Pittsburgh has put on this kind of a late season surge.
Yeah.
I thought that they were toast back in January. And so I was wrong. Probably happily so. You don't want to see anybody fade that early in the season. So seeing the Pens sort of rally here has been good. But the last couple of games have not been good.
Now, Pittsburgh also has three games left for their season.
Mm-hmm.
At Detroit, against Chicago, and at Columbus. So maybe like if Florida tends to stumble against Toronto there towards the end, or Carolina, I mean, maybe Pittsburgh could sneak in, because again, we have Chicago and Columbus who are battling for the Connor Bedard trophy. And Detroit, who is just kind of caught up in the middle, they, you know, win or lose, it's not going to help them at all. So, you know, but we'll see. We'll see. It's interesting matchup for the wild card. They're an interesting race for the wild cards in the East. Now, let's talk about potential matchups. As I had mentioned, we have one that's set up, Toronto and Tampa in the East. Boston's going to take on one of those three teams we were just talking about, depending on who finishes worse. We have New Jersey and the New York Rangers, who are probably going to be facing each other, and then Carolina facing the first wild card. Lou, in the East, of the teams and the possible matchups we could see, which one of you, and set aside your Ranger fandom for a second.
Right.
Which one are you the most excited to see?
Actually, Tampa and Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one that it's the make or break series for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
It is.
If they don't win this first round, I don't know what happens in Toronto. For me, the wild card in Toronto is what does Ryan O'Reilly contribute to this club in the playoffs? I do believe he's returning to the roster tomorrow. He's coming back from that broken finger.
Finger.
Well, if it is a thumb, it's not a finger.
Well, you were correct. I said thumb, you said finger. You were correct. It was a finger.
Okay. God. Such a jerk. That's the one that sort of appeals to me. I would like to see, I really am looking forward to that series. What about yourself?
I would have given you a free pass on the Devils and Rangers series, because to me, that is the one that's going to excite me the most in the East. The Toronto and Tampa, I mean, maybe I'm just so jaded with Toronto exiting in the first round for, I don't know, the last however many years, since 2004, I think.
Yeah.
which I believe the Atlanta Thrashers have the same number of first round advancements since 2004. I feel like it's going to go Tampa's way. They're going to be healthy, and no matter if they're going to be on the road or at home, it's going to go seven games. Somehow Tampa's going to come away with a win in that one. If Toronto can take a decent lead in that series, I will be much more interested. If it stays fairly even, I kind of know which way that the scales are going to go. The New Jersey and New York matchup. These are two very skilled teams, very young teams. You know, Rangers with just, I mean, they have about the same amount of playoff experience on those two rosters. But it'll be a really good test of New Jersey. And if they're going to be able to, you know, keep up this this level of play that they've shown throughout the season going into the playoffs. And same with New York. New York went deep into the playoffs last year. And I think I have them winning the Eastern Conference this year in our picks, which worries me because Boston's doing so good. But we all know about the President's Trophy curse, right? And I don't know. In my mind, as we talk about potential matchups in the East here, I don't think that there's any worse matchup than Boston and whoever is going to get that second wild card, because that is just going to be the way things are going right now. That is just going to be a slaughter. Correct me if I'm wrong, Lou.
Well, the odds are in Boston's favor in the first round.
I mean,
I don't know that Boston makes it to the conference final.
That's a different question. But the way they're looking right now, I don't think there's anybody in the East who would knock them out. Maybe Toronto. But Toronto would have to get past the first round.
Yeah.
And Boston would have to get battered a little bit by either Florida, New York, or Pittsburgh. Which, you know, could happen. But yeah, right now I don't think there's any team that looks better in the first round going into the first round, Boston.
You're right.
Yeah. Unless they, you know, expend too much energy trying to break some records with most wins. Let's look at the West.
Yes.
We have a potential matchup of Seattle and Colorado right now in the first round, wild card versus potential division winner. Dallas, Minnesota, which would be a very entertaining series. Vegas and either Winnipeg or Calgary or Nashville, and Edmonton and LA as of right now. Out of all of those potential matchups, which one excites you the most?
I guess who would Seattle take on?
Seattle would play Colorado if we were to start today.
I would like to. That's the one I want to see. Because, first of all, they've never been there.
Mm-hmm.
Seattle taking on the reigning Stanley Cup champs. Sure. What the hell? That to me, that one would be of interest to me because they have played through some difficult stretches of the season and managed to come out on the other side. They're sitting at 6-3-1 over their last 10 games and have sort of bounced back from two kind of, you know, dreadful skids this season. And not been rattled.
No.
And so that would be, that's the one, because it's out of the realm of, you know, season in, season out competitions. So that one, that's my first round pick.
Let's also talk about the names on the Seattle roster that are familiar to Colorado. Yeah. In Philip Grubauer.
Right.
Who was tossed aside the year before Colorado won the Stanley Cup, went off to Seattle, had a mediocre season last year. This year, doing a little bit better. And Andrei Burakovsky, he's on the IR right now, but is he coming back for the postseason? You know, well, we'll see. But yeah, that I feel like has some pretty good storylines to it. Mm-hmm. The one that would be most entertaining for me, I think, would be the Edmonton LA series. Just to see how well LA could try and stop the offensive juggernaut that is the Edmonton Oilers right now. 312 goals for on the season, and a plus 56 goal differential. They had a little bit of a slump, you know, mid-season. They dropped out of the, you know, the playoff picture for a bit. But they're playing strong. They've won six in a row, nine of their last 10. I don't know. Edmonton's just one of those teams that just looks really strong right now. LA, even having lost two of their last 10, they're still looking good too. So I don't know. I would love to see, I guess basically I would love to see both Vegas and LA advance to face each other and see Jonathan Quick face his former team.
Just priceless. Wouldn't it be? It would just be poetic justice, I think.
Absolutely. But yeah, no, the Seattle Colorado series would be fun. I mean, you know, for me, because I'm living in the area, it'd be fun to see Colorado go on another deep playoff run. But really, any of the matchups in the West, I think, besides Vegas and whoever they're facing in the first round, I think all of these matchups could be really good. Dallas and Minnesota, no matter who's home in that one, that one's going to be a hard-fought series. That one has, to me, the most potential of going seven games. But, I mean, yeah, like the playoffs in the West are just looking like just such great matchups.
Because they're all so close.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, let's face it, it's 100 points, 106 points for the Golden Knights. And the lowest is 89 well, if we stretch it down to Nashville, that is 88. So yeah. It's not that big of a difference between from top to bottom.
Yeah,
in the race. So, and the fact that so few of the playoff berths had not been clinched until really this week.
Yeah,
and so to me, they've just been playing each other tough as nails the entire season. And any of these first round series would be really kind of entertaining.
Absolutely. So yeah, we'll have okay. to get together and do a group, playoff prediction episode as we close out the regular season. I believe the final games are Friday of next week.
I think so. And playoffs start Monday, yep. The 17th.
I know Colorado plays Nashville Friday of next week. I have that on my calendar. Just because that could be an interesting game with still playoff implications.
Yeah.
So we'll keep our calendars marked there. Yeah. Maybe we have to do a special episode where we all get on and talk about playoff predictions as we can edit what we did in the preseason. All right. Talking about editing and maybe cleaning up some things. Thanks to Manscaped for being a sponsor of the Pro Hockey News podcast. Head over to manscaped.com/prohockeynews and you can save yourself 20% on your purchase from Manscaped. Thank you for helping us stay cleaned and trimmed wherever we may need to be cleaned and trimmed. All right, let's talk picks. We did a few picks a couple weeks ago. We did our second line picks. I see a frowny face in our grid here that I think Jacob entered. And he's not here to defend himself for that, but it happens to be over my score because I went 4-1 last week.
Cool.
Jacob went 3-2. Lou at 2-3, giving our overall season records. Lou at 26-30. Jacob at 25-31. And I'm sitting pretty at 33-23. Where is this?
Wow.
Where is this prediction I need on the first line? Because I am bringing up the rear in that. Anyway, this is why we need some hardware. All right. I have picked five games with some playoff implications, a sixth bonus game I don't think Lou has taken a look at yet, but we can substitute that for what Lou is talking about.
No. Let's go with your sixth. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, if you want to throw in another one, that's fine. We'll get through these first five first. First game I have on the slate for us and listeners, we may be live tweeting during one of these games. We'll be putting out the information on social media as we get closer to that on Saturday. But Saturday, April 8th, Colorado at LA. I know I'm starting with the late game, but this is the one I'm most excited about for Saturday. Lou, who you got in this one?
LA needs this win. They really, the psyche needs it. It's not going to have any impact, on the standings. So I'm going to take LA. It's just the psyche thing.
All right. I'm going to be the homer and take Colorado because really they need all the wins they can get to distance themselves from the pack there. And I got a message from Jacob. He is going to take LA. So Jacob, good pick there. All right, game number two, the Vegas Golden Knights at the Dallas Stars, another game with big playoff implications. Lou, who you got?
I'm going to go with the road team. I'll take Vegas.
All right.
I'm a little leery about Dallas.
Oh, I'm going to take Dallas just because they need to – I mean, I'm hoping they don't, but they need to keep pace with Colorado. If they have any hopes at getting that that division win and not playing Minnesota in the first round, I think either Colorado or Dallas, that's the one team they don't want to face in that first round. Yep. All right. And Jacob says he's going to go with Vegas as well. I don't know. I don't know why Jacob's going to do that, but he has some feeling for them that I just don't see. I just don't have time to rip on that. Because we have game number three, the New Jersey Devils at the Boston Bruins. Lou, who you like?
Boston. Boston beat Toronto Maple Leafs in overtime the other night. They have not slowed down. And that might be their undoing. But I'm going to take the Bruins.
All right. I'm going to take the Bruins as well. I have a feeling they're going for that record. I don't know why they don't need to, but I have a feeling they're going for it. They haven't shown any sign of slowing down, and against a team like New Jersey, I mean, you could really risk a lot. Yeah.
It's a message.
It is. And Jacob, I mean, obviously he's going to go with New Jersey. I don't know why he wouldn't go with Boston, but you can't talk sense into this guy. All right. Game number four, Nashville at Winnipeg. Lou, who you got?
Nashville.
No faith in the Jets.
No, I think Nashville is late bloomer.
Okay. I'm going to go Winnipeg. I think they're going to right the ship and they're going to get things back on track ahead of the playoffs here. They're going to hold on to that final wild card spot. And Jacob likes your theories on Nashville. He's going to go with the Predators as well. Wow. Game number five, Pittsburgh at Detroit. Another one with playoff implications, only for one team, though. Lou, who you got?
Detroit.
Ooh, playing spoiler.
Yeah, yeah. A couple of their last games have been successful for them.
All right. I am going to go with Pittsburgh. I feel like they're a little bit in desperation mode, being 1 point behind with three games left. Again, Detroit in the middle of the pack doesn't really have much to play for. I think a lot of the younger kids are going to be getting more ice time there. So I think Pittsburgh's going to come away with the win. And looks like Jacob agrees with me. He is also going to go with Pittsburgh there.
Okay.
All right. Here is the bonus game. And Lou, I know you're excited about this one. Please contain your excitement.
Okay.
Anaheim at Arizona.
At Arizona. I'm going to take the Coyotes.
All right.
I want to go to the arena in Tempe next season.
If it gets built.
No.
Mullet Arena. Mullet Arena.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah. I think it looks great.
I thought you were talking about the one that's going to be in the Tempe Entertainment District that is in limbo right now.
Yeah, it aspires to limbo. No, I'll take the Coyotes.
I'm going to take the Coyotes as well because I feel like Anaheim is just in full tank mode. What is this? Jacob is going to go with Anaheim. He has faith in the Ducks. Jacob, you got to be here to defend yourself with these picks, but...
Yeah.
Now, Anaheim is what he's taken. So there are our PHN picks of the week. If you want to follow us on Twitter, you can find us at PHN Podcast. And if you'd like to submit your picks to us, you can use the hashtag PHN Picks. that takes us to our parting thoughts. Lou, what's on your mind this week?
What's on my mind is a continuation of some rantings and ravings from you over the last few weeks. And it has to do with these Pride nights that teams are backing out of. Montreal Canadiens this week posted a statement from the organization that despite one of their players not wanting to participate in the warmups with the Pride Night jerseys, they were going to go forward with it as well, despite that. And their comments were, I thought, supportive and appropriate and what you would expect from an original 16, as opposed to what my Rangers did, which was really a full gaffe on their part. Mm-hmm. I was disappointed, however, in the fan reaction on social media to that decision from the Canadians, and I am disappointed in the sport that I love. So that's my parting thought.
You know, for every step forward, we seem to be taking two steps back on this issue. We brought it up on the first line last week, and I'm going to echo Lou's parting thought here. And I mean, bring up an idea that we came up with on the first line. You know, with these players who don't want to participate, who say that it goes against either their beliefs or their upbringing, or they have any other issue with it, fine. You don't have to participate in warmups. Sit it out. Come on when the game starts. You know, you don't have to wear the jersey. You don't have to participate, but I mean, it will be noticed. Adam brought up a point that maybe we need to shy away from these specialty nights where we highlight, you know, these communities that might be underserved by the game of hockey, and just create one hockey is for everybody and let players choose the cause that they want to do. Or maybe we include this as well, as, you know, hockey is for everybody. Find your cause, represent it during warmups, and let it be done at that. My issue with that, and I think it was a very good idea on Adam's part, but my issue with that is we do need to focus on these underserved communities because, you know, they're so overlooked. They don't feel welcome in this sport. And that is the whole point of this, is we're trying to include more people into the game, and that's the only way to expand the game. I like the idea of having a hockey is for everybody night. Great. Promote your cause. You know, find that community that needs to get involved with hockey. I love it. But I think we can't overlook that there are some other communities that still don't feel welcome in this sport. And to me, that is unacceptable. So that is my parting thought for the week. You know, always cheery, always ending on a high note there. But something that just needs to be said. So thank you for all of our sponsors for, you know, helping us put this podcast together. Thank you to My Custom Sports Chair, the Chicago Wolves Merchandise Store, Manscaped, and LDE Affinity Jewelry. Thanks to Lou Lafredo for joining me on the second line edition of the Pro Hockey News Podcast. And listeners, thank you for making this part of your routine. And I will see everybody next week.